It's awesome to be in the house of God. Amen. Amen. Are you excited about God tonight? God can do anything. The service is not over. When I look at these young kids, and I see a whole new generation. I see kids I don't even know that have come, and now they're in quizzing, and I still don't know them. And then I see our young people that are faithful, and they come and they pray, and they worship. There are worship leaders today. And I'm just thanking God for what he is doing in this church. He is growing a church. He is growing this church for a special purpose. And I am so thankful to be a part of it. I am so thankful to be able to be here tonight and to experience God and to see what God is going to do. How many believe that this service is not over? How many think that you can get something tonight from God? Not from the preacher, but from God. That God is here to give you what you have need of tonight. When you came here tonight looking for something and you haven't got it yet, that doesn't mean it's finished. There are some deliverances that God wants to do. There are some things that God wants to take care of. There are some healings that God wants to do. Not because I'm here, but because you have asked him. You have spent time in prayer, and God has heard those prayers. He hasn't forsaken us. He hasn't left us. He hasn't turned a deaf ear. But he has heard, and he wants to do it if we will believe him and expect him. Not just believe, not just, well, is it going to be tonight? But God, I want it to be tonight. I need you so much. I need a touch tonight. I need a deliverance tonight. It doesn't depend on what is going on up here. It depends on what's going on in your heart and your mind with God. When you have your mind set on God, God hears you and he will answer. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Woo, glory to God. I don't know about you, but woohoo. It feels good in this place because God is here, and I'm with you guys. I'm going to ask the pastor if he would pray for the message tonight and whatever God has. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Something, and I thought, all right, God, so if this doesn't affect you, then you just can thank the Lord and get your thing, what you need with God. But I do believe that God has something tonight in this message, and I am going to speak on suffering. And now sometimes, you know, you think when the pastor says, I want you to come Wednesday night, I'm going to preach on tithing, and you all go, ooh. But you know that some of the greatest blessings come in tithing. You know, or sometimes he says, I'm gonna preach on this, or I'm gonna preach on that, and maybe that's a habit that you have, or maybe that's a problem that you have, or a weakness, and you think, I don't know if I want to hear it. But you know what? When you hear the word of God, and God begins to do something in your heart and in your life, and you can see the glory of what God's purpose was in it. And so in suffering, God has a purpose in all things. Is that true, church? I want you to turn tonight to Romans chapter 8. I'm going to do something that I normally have. Well, I've never had my telephone up here, but it's the only New Living Testament that I have, and so I brought it up because I want to read out of that version tonight in some of the things. So I'd like you to turn to Romans in chapter 8 and starting with verse 12. Again, I want to say how much I love this church and Brother and Sister Schumacher. And I'm confessing something, so I have to come through with it. But I should be here next weekend with all my bags. So I'm thanking God for that. Romans chapter 8, and starting in verse 12, it says, "Therefore, dear brothers and sisters," in the New Living Testament, "you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do." Anybody ever have problems with their sinful nature when it urges you to do something? You do not have to listen to that. I'm telling you that God says that greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. You do not have to listen to the devil whispering in your ear or yelling in your ear. We do not have to. It says, "For if you live by its dictates, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. We will overcome." It may not be today for some, and it may not be next week for some, but God knows the heart, and he knows that when you fall and you rise again, he knows what you are doing in your heart, that you are trying. Never give up. If you've got a problem in your life, never give up. I'll say that every time I come up here. Never give up, because God sees every effort and every trying that you do, and he knows. But that doesn't give you an excuse or me an excuse, well, if I fall and don't give up. No. Repentance means turning around and changing. And that's what we need to do. We don't need to just keep going at it. And if, you know what, church, sometimes we think, oh, if I just repent and cry a little bit, that we will change. If that doesn't work, let me add this to it. What about fasting? Fasting really helps to kill that flesh. It really helps to kill the desire. And that's not another topic that most people like. You know, my stomach doesn't like it. You know, I can wash my face and look like I'm not fasting, but boy, when my stomach starts yelling at everybody around me, you know, I get the looks. But you know what? When we fast and we put our flesh down, God honors that. If there's a habit, I used to smoke when I was in the world. In fact, well, I've told you many times. And God literally delivered me from my smoking. And when I say that, I think of Sister Smith being delivered from drugs right into the baptismal tank. God will deliver if we will go to him. God didn't deliver me day one or day two when I prayed. It was probably 2 months down the line or 3 months down the line. And one day, just like that, one day, God delivered me. Other things I had to forcibly overcome and turn my back to them and say no. And God helped me through it. If you have an addiction tonight or a need tonight, God is going to help you. He doesn't call you and not make a way. You have to lean upon him and trust him. God has a purpose in each and every one of us. Verse 14, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you've received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. And now we call him Abba Father. And his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share his glory, we must also share his suffering. Yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory that he will reveal to us later. But if we are to share his glory, we must also share his suffering." You know, we always want the good things. You know, we always want the miracles. We want the signs and wonders. We want the ministries, and we want the gifts, and we want the accolades, and we want this, and we want that. But when God says, wait a minute, I have something for you, and it takes us down this other path, first, it's probably shocking because that's not what we expected. And second, it's hard and difficult and sometimes painful and lonely. But God is there with us, and he says, if we want his glory, which we do, we want to go to glory with God. Amen? Amen? Then there are sufferings that we are going to do that's going to be natural and normal in the spirit kingdom because he has a purpose. He doesn't just say, Brother Kevin, I'm going to pick on you again. That's me saying that. But he says, Brother Kevin, I'm not going to pick on you again, but I have a valley for you. Or I may have a disease for you. Or I may have some brokenness for you. And we may have to suffer with some things for his glory. Not for our glory. In our weakness, his strength is made perfect. And if we could get to that place where our strength, if we lay down ourselves before him and let him do and accomplish what he wants, sometimes I think it would get over faster. But sometimes I think we fight so hard with what has been happening to us because we think, well, this couldn't be God. And so I'm going to help you, God. I'm going to get out of it. And God says, wait a minute. No, this is actually the path that I took you to. Turn to Psalms. Psalms 23. Again, in the New Living Testament. The Lord is my shepherd. Thank goodness. Is he your shepherd? Are you following him? Or are you just kind of walking side by side and, well, today I'm with him and tomorrow I'm not? Or this is another one. This one I got in prayer. Lord, now I forgot how I did it because I don't do it anymore. Lord, would you walk with me today? And then I thought, no, Lord, help me to walk with you today. Help me to walk with you. The Lord is my shepherd. Is he your shepherd? I have all that I need. Am I satisfied? Am I content? In all things, I must learn to be content. That's kind of hard for a woman that likes to shop, or a man that likes to hunt, and it's hunting season, but he's got other responsibilities. I'm just giving examples. You can hunt. He lets me rest in green meadows. God takes us to green meadows. He takes us to the lovely places. How many have ever been to the mountaintop with him? But at the same time that we love the mountaintop, are we willing that when he tells us, lay down as still waters, lay down, lay down. I don't know about you, but, you know, I like to put my feet in the water. I like to swim and I like to fish sometimes once a year or less. You know, I mean, it's fun once in a while, you know. We have to appreciate where he's taking us and be content in where he has taken us. But then it says, he leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along paths that are right and bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, does it bring honor to his name in your darkest valley? I've been in the valley sometimes and not been happy with how I've behaved in the valley. I'm just being honest. You know, that was that time of struggling. God, you want me to do what? With who? There? And that struggle, is he your shepherd? He leads us into suffering for his glory, church. It's not about you. Really. Yeah, maybe you could say in some parts it is, because he's working into perfection. He's making us perfect for that glory that he's going to give to us when our feet leave this earth. And that's what we have to remember in the midst of our suffering, in the midst of confusion, in the midst of anything that we're going through, that he is with us, He is in us. He is directing us. It's for a purpose. He said in Matthew chapter 7, if a son asks of his father for bread, would he give him a stone? If he asks a fish, would he give him a serpent? Do you think that God would give us a stone for bread or some kind of serpent? Some kind of something that we, you know, is bad for us when we ask of him? God loves us so much, church. He loves us so much. You know, when we go through things that hurt us, it hurts him. He had tears when they wouldn't believe him, when the prophets and the Pharisees and the Sadducees wouldn't believe him. And when people saw Lazarus, you know, when he was dying and he was there to raise him up, he knew what he was there for. He knew the glory that was going to come out of Lazarus dying and laying in that tomb for 40. He already had a plan and a purpose. He knew what was going to happen. There was going to be life generated through death. There were going to be people that were going to believe that didn't believe before. And that's what suffering is all about. When Jesus went to the cross, that was suffering. But it wasn't for Jesus, it was for you and me. And when you and I go through suffering, it's not necessarily for me, but it may be for somebody else. And we've got to keep in mind what God is doing. It's not us. I didn't just accidentally get sick. I didn't just accidentally have an accident. I didn't just accidentally have a broken relationship. God has a purpose, and souls are going to be saved. And when this church has gone through so much, God has a purpose, church. Souls are going to be saved, and the glory of God is going to be seen through this place. And who is it going to be seen through but you who have come through the valley of the shadow of death? And how are we acting in the valley of the shadow of death? Are we praising God in our suffering? Are we dancing when our mourning is turned to joy? Or do we just sing it? Today, let's turn to 2 Corinthians first. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. And it's so cool to hear the pages turning, to know that that's your Bible, you know. Yeah. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3 says, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. He comforts us in all our troubles. He comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can, what? Comfort others. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort that God has given us. When God takes us through a valley, or he sets us down by the seashore, by the lake, wherever he's going to take us in our walk, wherever he's going to take you, that experience that you give to him, because you can't do it alone. Brother Portman, when he opened this morning and he talked about those rocks on your shoulders and on our shoulders, to lay them down for a memorial, it confirmed everything that this morning that I saw. When we can take the battles, the wounds, or the sufferings, whatever it is, and we can take them because they are a weight. Yes, they are. And we can take them and we can lay them down as our sacrifice to God. When we come to an altar here to worship, or we're at home or we're in the car, and we say, God, I'm laying it down. I'm going to lay it down. That gives God glory, because now he can take it. You are free. You've got your hands free to do whatever he's going to give you next. And I tell you something. You know, have you ever been sick and thrown up? I don't mean to be blunt, but You know what? Don't you feel better? When you get all that poison out of you and all that ick out of you, well, that's what it's like when we go through trouble. I hate to be very blunt, but you know what? That's a good example. Because when we carry things that aren't of God, it's not good. It's poison to our spiritual life. And when we can lay that down and get rid of it and start praising God, there's a cleansing that takes place. There's a washing that takes place. There's a renewing that takes place. And in that comes joy and peace. And those fruits of the Spirit begin to start blossoming. And then others begin to see that fruit. The light of God begins to shine. And that glory of God rests upon his temple. When the priest went into the holiest of holies, there was some kind of glory that would come down. Well, when God comes into your situation, there is a glory of God that others can see. But when we moan and groan and complain, and I am guilty. You know, I have to tell myself, shut up, Deb. And I do, you know? Abram, you know, when God told Abram to go into the promised land and all this land and that he was going to give him, he said, just walk through it, you know? Wherever your feet go, you know, claim it. And so he goes to Bethel and he builds an altar. And the next thing you know, he's walking through the land. And there's a famine. Now I look at that two ways. If he'd have stayed where he was supposed to stay, would God have supplied the need? But he didn't. And so he went down to Egypt. And while he was down there, he told a lie. And he said, you know, my wife is my sister. Well, he didn't add the wife part, but he said, tell him that you're my sister. And she was a half-sister. But because of the disobedience or the lie or getting out of the will of God, I don't know, the Bible really doesn't say much about that. You know, he just went down. But he got in trouble. And so because of his lie, Pharaoh got plagued. And it didn't just say a plague, it said a great plague. Great. And sometimes our disobedience or, you know, our wanting, not wanting to go through something causes others to suffer. But you know what Abram did? He left that land of Egypt and he went right back to Bethel and he worshiped God. When we recognize, church, that we've made the wrong turn or done the wrong thing or didn't stick with what God wanted us to do, we better run right back to that altar. Right back to the house of God, Bethel, because this is where there's healing. This is where there's direction. Not that you can't get it by yourself, but look at the body of Christ is here. There are fingers here. There are toes here. There are noses here. There are brains here. Do I need to say any more? Praise God. You guys catch on fast. Woohoo. Praise the Lord. There are some people in this church that I know that have gone through some things. I would imagine each and every one of you have gone through your valley. I'm going to ask, don't answer, but did you come out? Did you come out of your valley a victor? Did you come out delivered? Did you come out whatever way that God wanted you to come out? Did you come out praising God? Did you come out with joy? There are a few that I asked tonight just to say a word, just to build some encouragement that God does, when you suffer for God, there are rewards that are given.
Well, where do I begin? As you know, I've had a few things go wrong over my many years. But I had been diagnosed with fibromyalgia, which I guess originates in the brain and tells your body that you're in more pain than what you really are. And I suffered with that for 6 years. The rheumatologist that I had was the same as my daughter Courtney's, and she told us that we had the two worst cases of fibromyalgia in her entire clinic. We prayed. I've had many of you pray for me over the years, and just like that, one day it was gone. It came on suddenly, and 6 years later, it was gone. I testified at a ladies' meeting, my fibromyalgia has been healed by God. My daughter went to our rheumatologist and said, well, my mom won't be back anymore because God healed her. And she said, oh, it's just in remission. She'll be back. Well, that was 10 years ago. God didn't heal me instantly. I've never had one of those instantaneous, miraculous healings. But there have been other times, at least two other times I can think of, where I've been really sick, and you as a congregation have prayed for me. I mean, just going down the aisles this morning and tonight, there were several of you who asked how my cough was. I've been praying for you. And my husband has said to me every time, you know, Jane, when you get sick, this congregation prays. And it makes them stronger because they're praying together for a common good. And I thank God for that. So I thank him for the valleys that somehow, through what I've gone through, it has made you all stronger.
Praise the Lord. Brother Carpenter?
Praise God, church. Well, I'll start out, you know, and try to make it real quick, but I've had several actual healings from God. I was raised Baptist since I was a little boy, able to walk to church about 10 blocks away, and I've never had the blessings and the healings that I've had with the Baptist church as I have since I became Pentecostal and got baptized in Jesus' name. But recently, I had, for the past year and a half or so, I'd been looking for employment up here once I moved up here. And I was having trouble finding employment because of my age. Most people want to hire somebody that's a lot younger, and you know, that's pretty obvious. I'm not young anymore. But anyway, I had applied probably almost 2 years ago with SC Johnson. And after going to the museum and seeing videos and things like that about this company, I thought, wow, this would be a really cool company to work for. You know, family owned and all that. So I applied for it, and it took several months before they got back to me, and they said that I passed the first phase with my application and stuff, and I'd go to phase two. And phase two was very extensive testing and stuff. It was almost like they were, you know, seeing if I could be a rocket scientist or something with some of these questions they were asking. I mean, it was literally that hard. But anyway, they called me up about maybe a month later, and they said, you passed phase two. We're going to send you to phase three. Well, in the meantime, I got a job with Home Depot, you know, working in the garden department. And I just assumed to myself this would be just a part-time job until I got, you know, accepted with SC Johnson, because I prayed about it and I prayed about it, and I really felt that God was opening the door for SC Johnson, the way things were falling into place. Well, anyway, I went to they called me up and said, you're going to phase three. So phase three was actual physical interviews with people, you know, the head people of the company and stuff. And what you did was you went in, you sit down in a room with three people. They would grill you on all these questions, you know, and it was mostly on character and things like that. And then you took a half-hour break, and then you'd go into another room, and you'd sit down with three more people. And they would grill you and ask you all the questions, it went real well. I mean, I thought, wow, this is awesome. I felt really comfortable going through the interviews. I felt that I answered all their questions properly and everything, and I felt they liked me too. So they told me, they said, okay, you know, we're trying to get through this process a little quicker, so it'll probably be about 10 days before we get back to you. So I said, okay. So in the meantime, I went on vacation, came back, and waited and waited. Almost 2 months went by, and I'm thinking, wow, you know, I haven't heard from them. So one day I was at work, and my wife was coming in to church that morning, and she said, honey, there's a FedEx letter from SC Johnson. And I said, wow, we've both been really excited about this. You know, I said, well, go ahead and open it. And she said, well, it's in your name. I didn't want to open it. And I said, honey, you know, you've been asking me about this too, you know. So I said, go ahead and open it and read it to me. Well, she opened this letter, and it was one of the thanks for applying letters, but we've already filled the position and all that. And, you know, I mean, at first I had a little bit of sadness because I was really wanting this job, you know. I don't think I was near as disappointed as my wife was, actually, though, because, you know, I told myself, you know, God opened the door and he closed the door, you know, and I thought, well, he closed the door, so he's got something different for me, you know, and that's just the attitude that I had. Well, anyway, about 4 days ago at my job, I've been working part-time, not even 30 hours a week, hardly. It's been 28, 29 hours a week. I came into work the other morning, last Friday, and they asked me if I would come into the office. And I said, sure, you know. So I went in there and I thought, whoa, what did I do, you know? All three of the managers were in there. The head manager, two assistant managers were in there. And so I walked in, and he said, go ahead and have a seat. And I sit down, and I'm looking at him, you know, real strange. And he could tell I had a you know, confused look on my face. And the manager said, this is good news, Lee. This is good news. Don't worry about it. And I said, oh, great. Okay, well, that, I do feel better now, you know. So I sat there, and he started explaining to me that they were going to start doing some things differently at Home Depot. And... well, the first thing he told me was that they were going to increase my hourly wage 33%. Now, that right there alone was incredible to me. I mean, because I've never had an increase of 33% on a wage or a salary. So then, to go a little bit further, they told me that they are going to put me full-time position there, and that my wage would still be at the high wage at the full-time, you know, hours. So here I am with a 33% wage increase, and here I am doubling the hours I'm going to be working, you know. So, you know, and the thing is about working with Home Depot, and the reason I believe that God did this with Home Depot is because I don't think I would be able to witness to people like I do at Home Depot. When I go to Home Depot, I'm like I am here at church. I'll greet all my brothers and sisters, and for my brothers, I'll give them an embrace and say it's good to see them and things like that. And I do the same thing at work with everybody when I walk in that door. So people see that in me, and I'm able to witness to them. I've been able to witness the customers at Home Depot. And I really don't believe that if I would have got the job with SC Johnson that I would have had that opportunity like I will here. So I pray for boldness and witnessing, and I hope you do the same thing. Cause I don't know. I just don't believe I could do anything in my life anymore without Jesus with me. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Can we just give the Lord a hand clap and worship him a minute? God, you are so good. Lord, you are so good. Thank you, Lord, for the things that you take us through, God. Thank you for bringing us out. Thank you for the victory and the joy, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One thing that I've noticed, and it wasn't in my notes, because I forget a lot of things, but just listening to Sister Schumacher and Brother Carpenter, what about the times when they were going through it? The suffering or you know, the weight that they were carrying. Church, this is why we need to really pray one for another, why we really need to love one. We don't know the path that they're walking. We don't walk in their shoes. And you don't know right now, the one sitting next to you, what they've been going through. And I thought tonight, before service and during worship a little bit, it seemed like all the old people were over here and all the young people were over here. But you're all over there, Brother Frank. And I thought, you know what? If you guys don't mind, I think I'd like to come over here and rub some shoulders and get some of that fresh Holy Ghost and get some of that energy and some of that. You know, when you first get the Holy Ghost, there's such a excitement and such, you have faith for anything and everything, you know. And you know, maybe some of us old people, except the pastor and his wife, of course, they're not old, you know. But maybe, you know, if we reach out and touch and lay hands on and pray for, we are the body, and the body, you know, when one part of the body, when one organ in the body is sick, you know, some other organs kind of take over sometimes, you know, and tell that that sick organ or that weaker organ can get strength. This body is such an amazing body. And I'm talking about you, church. This church is an awesome church. I can't say it enough, but we have such an awesome God. And we need to be praying. The names that are on that board over there, the people that have been going through some things, we need to be lifting them up, because God hears our prayers and God answers. And I know the last time I was here, I talked about Brother Brown, 77 years old, and we're sitting at the kitchen table, and he gets up and he goes and he brings out books and pieces of notebook paper, and he says, he's diabetic and his feet in the middle of the night, sometimes most of the nights, wake him up. And he says, this is what I do when I get up at night. I go through my list and I begin to pray. And I pray for these names that are in this book and these books and on this paper. God answers prayer. God answers prayer. Who else is going to reach your family? What happens if the suffering that you might be going through, some of you may not even be going through anything right now. You know, you may just be hijacking all over this place, dancing and worshiping God because, you know, it's your time of rejoicing. But we do have seasons. And pray, pray, pray. Your families, who else is going to reach them? Who else is going to touch them? But God hears every prayer that goes up. Amen. Hallelujah. Brother Bear.
Praise the Lord. Do you see what's happening here? Last weekend, Brother East talked about the importance of being in the house of God. And I think that everything that we have heard already tonight is an encouragement to us. And we would not have heard it had we not been in God's house. Now, I know it was a few months ago I shared with this church I was having a heart issue, and God healed me by simply allowing for me to sneeze and reset my heart. That was a testimony. I had to go through some things. It was very scary, but through it all, God got the glory, and people were encouraged that had other problems. I shook someone's hand tonight that I hadn't seen for a while, and the first thing she said was, "How are you feeling?" I know the testimony meant something to her, but I want to give God one more praise for that. On the 6th of December, I had the opportunity to speak up in Sheboygan Falls, and in August will be 20 years that I've been living for the Lord. And in those 20 years, I have witnessed to my brother over and over. I shared with him the time that God allowed me to see an angel right there. And the time I was struggling financially and someone came and set an envelope there with $1,000 in it. You know where that happened? It happened in the house of God. What if I wouldn't have been here? I got a spiritual revelation there and brought to another level. God spoke to me this morning and through you tonight about going through it. Shut up, Deb. You know what? Shut up, Roland. I'm going through it, but just be quiet. Like the pastor said, there's no questions during the test. So we go through things. But God has over and over spoke to me in this place. And this morning he said, arise and go down to the potter's house. There I will cause you to hear my words. What he told me this morning was, notice the potter put the clay on the wheel. The clay did not put the potter there. We are clay in his hands. And for years, through all these times, I've been in God's hands in the middle of tests. I've been witnessing to my brother about the angel and about the $1,000 and about the heart and about the time he put a roof on my house and on and on and on and healed my wife of cancer. And now he was going through some things and I spoke to him about my healing. And when I got the opportunity to go to Sheboygan, the Lord spoke to me about preaching on miracles. And I called my brother and I said, I'd like to see in the house of God. You can hear firsthand about the miracles, but you can see firsthand what God does in the house of God. And I want you to know that he has not wanted a thing to do with Pentecost in 20 years. This morning when I talked to him, his last words were, God bless you, Roland. Listen, so witness, 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 witness about the house of God. And that morning, that Sunday morning, before I came to service here and then went there in the evening, I prayed, Lord, allow for me to see you move in that place tonight and in this place this morning. Allow for me to see your hand, Lord, to see a miracle. And it wasn't 10 minutes after that happened. I got a text from my brother, and he said, what time is church tonight? And on the 6th of December in 2015, my brother and his wife were in a Pentecostal church raising their hands in the air and worshiping God. And God allowed for me one more time to see a miracle because of the miracle he worked in my life.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory. Boy, God wants to show himself strong if we'll just believe. I know I've asked a couple of you to give your testimony, but because of time, would you give it? But not now. Would you give it to each other? Because by the blood of Christ and the testimony of our life and our lips and our heart, that's what's going to take us into heaven. If we can tell people about what God is doing in our life, they have needs too. Not just in this church, but outside. The people that we meet, the people where we go shopping, the people where we go to eat, our family, give them the testimonies of what God's doing. I think sometimes, oh, they don't want to hear. But you know what? You don't know what's in the heart. You don't know how God has been dealing with people all this time. And you may just be the one to speak the word at the right time, at the right place. And maybe they'll be coming the next time. Amen? Hallelujah. I got about two more pages. That's all, so we'll be done in a minute. No, just kidding. You know, sometimes I say that God takes our suffering and uses it for others, but sometimes he'll use it for us. And my example is Jacob. You know, when Jacob was coming back home, if I can put it like that, his brother Esau had said, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to get you before he left. And he went to Laban. And now he's coming back with all his goods, all his kids, all his family, everything. And he knows that he's going to meet his brother. And he's worried about it. And so he gets to a place of where he knows the next day they're coming, they're going to meet. So he sends his wife and kids ahead, but he goes off by himself. And, you know, sometimes we have problems within the church with our brothers and sisters. But he went off by himself to meet God and to pray. And if you have a problem with your brother or sister where you can't speak to them, or you've had an argument with them, or, you know, you need to seek God and go to God. And that's what he did. And God literally touched him. He wrestled, the Bible says, with a man, and he wouldn't let go of him. And it says that he prevailed. He prevailed. Jacob did. Fighting an angel. Because he wanted to get God. He wanted to get an answer. He had to do something. And so God touched him, took his hip out of joint, so he walked with a limp. And when we really touch God, when we really seek after God and touch him, something changes in us. And not just for you to know it, everybody will see it. It's a testimony that you have actually met with God, that something has happened in your life or my life. There is a change that takes place. And that next day, he went and met his brother. And there was peace made. And when there's problems with brothers and sisters, there's got to be a peace made. There's got to be a change in our heart. And you know what glory came out of that? Not only did Jacob get changed, but God changed his name from Jacob to Israel. And it affected how many people? Thousands of Jews. Now the Israelites. What will happen when we have something bitter in our heart, or something against a brother or sister in our heart, and we take it to God and we leave it with God, and we know we've touched God enough that we have changed when we get up and walk away, and we go to them and God creates a peace. Don't be afraid. If you know you're doing something right by going to a brother or sister that has maybe wronged you or you've wronged them, if you do what's right, there will be a peace about it in your life. And that's what matters, because that peace in your life will settle you, and you'll be able to continue to do the will of God and hear from God. But when we don't do what's right in the sight of God, there's not going to be a peace. And he could have met his brother, and they could have all been killed, but God was in it. And God will be in us in what we do when we do what's right. Amen? There are rewards in the middle of our suffering, even if it's a name changed. Hallelujah. Last scripture in Hebrews chapter 2. Starting in verse 9, what we do see is Jesus, who was given a position a little lower than the angels because he suffered death for us. He is now crowned with glory and honor. Yes, by God's grace, Jesus tasted death for everyone. God, for whom and through whom everything was made, chose to bring many children into glory. And it was only right that he should make Jesus, through his suffering, a perfect leader fit to bring them into their salvation. And it was only right that he should make Jesus, through his suffering, a perfect leader fit to bring them into their salvation. So now Jesus and the ones he makes holy have the same Father. That is why Jesus is not ashamed to call them his brothers and sisters. If God suffered for us, the least we can do is suffer with him for his glory. If we can remember that in our suffering, that it's not about us, it's not for us, but it's because of him and what he has done and what he is doing in our life that we can give him glory in the middle of it. If we can stop and remember in the middle of that suffering or whatever it is that God has us or where he has us, that there is going to be a glorious outcome and somebody is going to be affected. But how are they going to be affected? Is it going to be for the negative or is it going to be for the positive? Is it going to be for heaven or is it going to turn them away from heaven? Is it going to win them into the church because they see something glorious or is it going to give a bad taste in their mouth? All we have to do, church, in the middle of it is say, Jesus, thank you. Thank you for this. Use me, Lord. Use me. It may be a John the Baptist ministry, and there may be some heads that roll. But we say, God, I want to be used. Does it matter? Can we tell Jesus how to use that cup, that clay on the potter's wheel? If we have a heart to be used, and he says, your trail is going this way because you have to decrease so that he can increase, are you willing to do it? Are you willing to pick up your cross and carry it? Are you willing to die out? Have you counted the cost? He isn't going to give us more than we can bear. I challenge you tonight that if you're carrying a weight, or if you're in the middle of a trial, that you just bring it here and you lay it down and you give it to him. You sincerely give it to him. Don't just throw it down and walk away. Don't not talk to him. Do you know that God is such a God that if you will trust him, and say, I don't know. I don't know if I have the faith. If you will be honest with him, that even that little bit of faith, that little bit of grain, a mustard seed, God can answer and do mighty things with it if you'll be sincere and lay it down and not take it out of here again tonight. Sister Karen, she too was healed of fibromyalgia. And her testimony is this, that a few days afterwards, the devil came to you and talked to you, or that she had it again. And she said, I don't believe that. God healed me and I'm sticking to it. And it left. It left. And she's never had a problem either. And this isn't about healing. Because there's many people that are suffering many different things. There's emotional pains and mental pains. And there's relationship pains. There's a lot of things that we don't know about that you might be going through. But God knows, and that's what matters. God knows. Because I'm not going to take you to heaven, and pastor's not going to take you to heaven. All we can do is bring you the word of God. You have to come up. You have to lay it down. You have to give it to God. You have to talk to him. You have to have a relationship with God. Not a part-time relationship, but a full-time, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ? Are you willing to lay that down tonight? Are you willing to go through it? Or should I say this? Are you willing to pick it up? To pick up your cross and follow him? Brother Schumacher.
Sister Jenkins, would you stand with me, please? People are watching us, aren't they? We make statements that we're Christians and we go to church, and so they start to observe us. And though they can deny the Word of God, they can deny church, they can deny a lot of things, but one thing they can't argue with is that you're different. God healed you. God changed you. And when you went through that valley or that suffering, you didn't respond like all the other people they know. I wonder if the children of Israel would not have murmured in the wilderness if they would have spent 40 years in the wilderness. And maybe sometimes we stay in that same place because we're complaining about it instead of saying, God, I'm grateful for this because something good is going to come out of it. And so God knows exactly what we need when we need it, and he's always, always, always has a promotion at the end of it. Amen. Thank you, Sister Jenkins. Amen. The altar's open. Would you come?